Welcome to the Battle of the Brothers, Utah Houston BYU football podcast. We're two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, and the other a diehard Utah Utes fan. Battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. It's the blue versus the red, the Pepsi versus the Coke. Caffeine-free, of course, on both of those. I'm your host, C-Double. Let me introduce you to our two brothers. We've got TC, our BYU diehard. What's up, TC?
Here we go, here we go. Biggest week of the year, week one, right out of the gate.
And then we have K-Ray, our resident running Utes fan. What's up, K-Ray?
What's up, baby? Game for any fuss. Let's get this thing going. Yeah.
All right. So, of course, this week we have the biggest matchup of the year that we're excited about. BYU versus Utah from Lavelle Edwards Stadium Thursday night. Football has officially started. Hawaii beat Arizona. And, of course, the first game of the season, Miami versus Florida. College football is officially underway. But first, TC, word on the street is that you were actually in Miami preceding their game against Florida, and you cursed the Canes. Tell us what the heck happened here.
Well, that's right. I was down in Miami. You know, I got some hookups down there. I was down with my family, and I was like, hey, boys, let's go check out the real you. So we go down to Coral Gables, we're checking it out, I go to my boys what a national championship trophy looks like. They've seen one before, and that's on BYU campus. And we're like, hey, let's go check out Miami's football practice, because there was a lot of hype surrounding their new freshman quarterback and Tate Martell, who widely regarded as the greatest U.S. high school football player ever. We were like, let's go see who's taking all the reps. And the entire practice was closed off. So anyway, we walk around and we see this building where we can get on a stairwell to kind of check out practice. And we're watching the plays. And anyway, I take out my phone to take a couple pictures. And next thing you know, it's like, I'm not kidding, 20 seconds later, I got the head coach of Miami running at me, barking at me, and telling us to get out of there. I guess he thought I was a spy for the Gators or something. Anyway, so they shoot us out of there, and I was like, geez, relax, relax. And as we walked out, my boys were like, well, we're not cheering for the Hurricanes anymore. And anyway, I guess they did enough to make it close against Florida, but ultimately ended, which I honestly cannot believe they didn't start Tate Martell. I think, curses aside, that was maybe the biggest mistake I've seen in college football this year, although there's only been two games. So,
or was it the actual video footage you sent over to Florida? Was that the game changer? Because
yeah. You
said pictures where we actually saw a live video of you recording the practice. So let's come clean here now.
Well, I should have after the coach yelled at us. I joked about it. I should send this over to the Gators. But, obviously I did not. But, I would like to say I had an impact on the first college football game, but probably did not.
Just like you had an impact on BYU hiring Detmer. Your track record is not looking too hot here, man.
That might be true.
All right, well, let's jump right into it. So, K-Ray, give us the update on the Utes' injuries, specifically Moss and Covey. Will they be ready, and what impact will those injuries have on this game?
Well, I do have some inside information, but I'm not going to divulge it to you suckers. That's for
sure.
That's for sure.
Who are you going to divulge it to, man? You got nobody. What are you talking? You don't have any friends.
We, as a university, we're not divulging to the team down south our strategy for this coming Thursday night. That's all I can say.
Okay. Yeah, he's drinking the Kool-Aid.
In all seriousness, I think they're both going to play. I mean, Covey really, really wants to play. This is his last time to play in Cougar Stadium. Next year, his senior year, obviously, will be in Salt Lake. He really wants to play. And Zach Moss, from all accounts, it's just precautionary right now. He did hurt his hand. I think it's actually a finger, but no one knows for sure what was hurt. And right now they're just being very, very cautious. But all signs point to both of them being ready to go.
All right, all right. All right, so it looks like we may have a real game here. Utah not coming with any excuses, sounds like. Okay.
Well, I think they both play. I think this is a big game. It impacts local recruiting. And, look, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but Utah's got some national hype going. They cannot get out of gates and lose their first game.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, this is the biggest game for both teams, regardless of what you fans say about the Pac-12. They lose this game. Their season loses a lot of meaning really fast.
Interesting. That's an interesting hypothesis. I'd like to discuss that further. Maybe later in the podcast we can.
Okay, well, let's add that to our agenda, and I would like to hear that. All right, so let's talk game scenarios. So, TC, let's start with you. Tell us what BYU needs to do to win. Tell us what Utah needs to do to win. And then tell us what you actually think is going to happen.
Oh, man. Well, there's a lot of ifs and almost over the past few years in this rivalry. At the end of the day, Utah's gotten it done. BYU hasn't. I mean, kind of cliche at this moment for BYU fans, but you know, BYU cannot put on the brakes. They gotta keep their foot on the pedal. But you know, three big things I think they need to do. I think they need to play outside the tackles. Do not play to Utah's strength and run it right at the middle. Roll Wilson out, let him do his thing. He seems to be a pretty good scrambler. He can make plays with his feet. So that's priority number one. Normally that's what you tell a quarterback not to do, but when you're going against arguably the best defensive line in the country, you want to get away from those guys, okay? And you got the talent to do it. Number two, BYU needs to have some semblance of a deep threat, because otherwise, you know, if the defensive line doesn't kill you, the linebackers will. But you got to keep them on their heels a little bit. And then lastly, we have got to get some sort of pass rush. We've got to get some sort of pass rush. I know Utah's offensive line is young, so that might play into our favor. But you can't just let Huntley sit back there and wait 5-6 seconds just to find somebody who's eventually going to go. So, and that last aspect is a key to every single game BYU is going to play this year. They've got to find somebody who can get to the quarterback. Okay, so that's what BYU needs to do to win. What Utah needs to do to win, I think they don't need to play asymmetrically. They just need to line up, play, you know, man-to-man, smash-mouth football. They have arguably better talent, although I think the disparity is not as great as what Utah fans think it is. And I think the final score of a rivalry game over the last decade kind of proves that. But at the end of the day, they do have more talent, and they don't need to get fancy. I would love it, actually, if they have Covey try to throw a couple passes. They don't need to do that. They need to line up and in the end use their overall talent to win the game. And what I think will actually happen, you know, this is the first year where, you know, Utah has not had a distinct advantage in the kicking game. And I think given the first game of the season, offenses are going to be sputtering a little bit. The kicking game is going to be paramount. It is going to be probably a bigger role than in most games. And this is the first year, arguably, BYU might have a better kicking game than Utah. Field possession is going to be good. points are going to be at a premium, so field goals are going to be, you know, immeasurably important. And I think BYU might have the edge in the kicking game. Utah's kicker kind of quit during fall camp. They had to get a transfer real quick, some third stringer or something from UCLA. Having said that, BYU's kicker hasn't kicked a field goal in 2+ years.
Well, whoa.
All accounts are he's back from his mission, and he's accurate, kicking long, and he's going to be the punter as well, Jake Aldroyd. If you remember, he kicked that clutch field goal against Arizona a couple years ago to win the game. So I think BYU wins it by a field goal at the end. And, you know, I'm going to be at the game. Yeah, tried to act like we've done it before. We're rushing the field when we win this thing.
I can see TC, the only one running out there, gets smashed by the security guard.
Yeah, first Manny Diaz and then BYU security. Exactly right.
All right, those are actually really interesting points. Yeah, really, really, really interesting points. I like it. It's great analysis. All right, so K-Ray, let's go to you. So give us your game scenarios. Tell us what Utah needs to do to win, what BYU needs to do to win, and then what you think will actually happen.
Yeah, so first of all, TC said he's going to be at the game. So just for clarity's sake, I mean, we don't live in Utah. We live back east. So the fact that TC's making the pilgrimage to Provo for this game is kind of a big deal. I'll be watching it at 10:30 at night or wherever it kicks off out here on the East Coast. But certainly will be wide awake. But I gotta admit, I'm jealous that TC's gonna make it to the game. Should be exciting. What does Utah have to do to win the game? I think what TC said is right on. Play it straight. Just run the ball. And switch it up. Apparently our deep game is really on point right now. A couple deep balls, a lot of Moss right up the middle, and I think our defense can do enough to hold. What does BYU have to do to win the game? I think both teams have to keep their emotions in check. Both teams are going to be so amped up for this game. Whichever team can keep their emotions in check, whichever team can focus, I think has a distinct advantage. I think BYU may try some trickeration, fake punts or fake field goals, which I think could serve them very well. Utah's defense is going to be very aggressive, including special teams, and could overcommit, and they could catch the Utah defense and special teams trying to be too aggressive. And I think that if BYU does that, and if they keep their emotions in check, I think that's the thing they have to do to win the game. Now, what do I think is going to happen? I think Utah is going to win by 21, 28 points. That's what I think is going to happen. I think we're that much better.
Whoa.
I just think we're that good this year. I think that it's a special year. 2008, when we won our last national championship, according to the NCAA and the Anderson-Hester computer rankings, I think it could be our best team since our national championship in 2008. And, I think we take care of business on a Thursday night.
All right. That's a bold prediction there by K-Ray with those numbers there.
National championships aside, 28 points. I don't know if either team even scores 28 points. Where does Utah get the offense? I mean, we could talk a little bit about this national hype in a little bit, but honestly, I'm reading all the articles. I'm scratching my head. Where does Utah find the offense that they haven't had over the past 10 years, and all of a sudden they're going to come out beating teams by 4+ touchdowns? Where is it going to come from?
Well, I think it's going to come from the same place it came from last year. I mean, we scored 35 points in the second half last year against BYU, and we were scoring 40 points a game. Again, in October, that was our average in October. And Andy Ludwig has changed the culture there, the offensive culture. It's not the old iPhone offense under Troy Taylor that never really worked. I mean, look, like, TC could have a good point. I mean, first game, and as we saw last night in the final quarter of the Miami-Florida game, which was just a disaster, it's very early in the season, and anything could happen. But I think Utah wins comfortably.
How many points did Utah score in their opener last year?
In our opener last year, I think our first real game was against Northern Illinois, and that was on the road, and I think they only scored 17 points in that game.
Yeah, I just think first game of the season, I mean, this plays into BYU's favor. Offenses sputter a little bit. I think the 30, 40-point games usually – teams increase their points as the season goes on. It takes a while for the offense to gel. Naturally, defenses don't require as much harmony, I guess, playing together. But we'll see. I mean, that is a pretty optimistic prediction. 28 points, given Vegas only has a 5-point spread, you can make a lot of money.
My God. If I was a betting man, I could make a lot of money. You're right. I don't know. I mean, that's just what I think is going to happen. I think we're that good, and I think that we're going to come out and show it. Now, to TC's point, these games are always really close. So I could be overly optimistic because there's something about this game. It's always a good game.
All right. Good analysis from K-Ray there. I like it. All right. Well, I think this game is going to come down to defensive lines, both the Utes D-line and the Cougars D-line. I think that if the Utes are pressuring Wilson, BYU's done. They're not going to do much, and it's going to be game over. But I think that if BYU's defensive line can pressure Huntley, I think they can do some disrupting there. I think we will see some trick plays from BYU, which I think they will need to do if they want to win this game. And I like the analysis from TC about the kicking. That's interesting. That is a really good point. I think BYU, if they can protect Wilson, this will go into the fourth quarter close, but in the end, I think the Utes will pull it out by 10. So that's my prediction from Utah. So, all right. So
on the ground, that's your on the ground analysis. I like it
from the front lines in Utah. That's right. All right. So. Any other last thoughts on this game before we move on to kind of the national picture this week?
Well, I thought K-Ray brought up a good point with emotions. This game's always really emotional. One thing I've noticed in the first couple games is the refs are really happy to throw some flags. I don't know if that's like an emphasis that the NCAA has put out, but they penalties could play a big role, and a couple unsportsmanlike conduct penalties that keeps drives alive, et cetera, that could play a big role in the game. So that was a good point, I thought.
Yeah, and my X factor for this game that I don't think anybody knows anything about, at least I don't, is Williams, the BYU running back. Is it Tyson or Tyson Williams?
He's Tyson, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if he goes off, I could change everything. And I know that I don't know anything about him. All I know is that he was a running back at an SEC school, at a good SEC program, which means he must have been very good in high school. So that could be an X factor, actually.
Yep, yeah, great point.
I mean, all reports are he's been, you know, killing it in practices and fall camp, but, you know. BYU hasn't really been going live, so not too hard for a running back to kill it. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's definitely some new faces. and he's the biggest one that would be huge if BYU got a running back that can establish a ground game against Utah early. So, I mean, last year we had our converted linebacker playing running back against Utah. I mean, it was literally our fourth string, last ditch effort to even find a running back. So, I know Utah had its own injuries. So this will be really interesting. Beginning of the year, both teams, full strength, Moss maybe the asterisk to that, but it should be a good game.
Yep. Now the real question. Well, go ahead, K-Ray.
No, I was just gonna say if Tyson Williams and Bushman get going, if there's a 1-2 punch with Wilson throwing some nice passes, then my 28 point win prediction could go completely out the door, and by the end of the first quarter, I could be real nervous.
All right, the real question that the fans want to know is, TC, are you going to be there with your shirt off with a big Y painted on your hairy chest? That's what everyone wants to know.
No, I bought a T-shirt down in Miami that says The Real You with the Miami U on it. So that's what I'll be there.
You're wearing the universe.
I can just see the confused look on you fans' faces. What are you talking about? There's
gonna
another
wear
two out there? What?
You're going to wear it just to agitate the Utes fans.
I'm just going to wear my Yale hat all day. And people are going to think, hey, you're cheering for BYU. Nah, I'm cheering for Yale.
See, the Yale comparison, it's a nice try, but it doesn't really match up because
it's the exact same Y. It's the exact same logo.
Yeah,
I will say, in high school, I bought what I thought was a BYU hat, a real nice hat, and I'm wearing it around, and I'm like, why did that store have a BYU hat? I mean, it was literally like, it was in Florida or something. Like it was somewhere off the beaten path. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is a Yale hat. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I will say I do not like the Y symbol. I would prefer BYU stick with the better. I mean, living out east, you're exactly right. I wear a Y, and people are like, "Oh, you went to Yale." I'm like, "No, BYU." But
pretty much the Yale of the West. Yes.
The difference is we don't go around forming a Y, which is the same symbol as Yale, in every picture.
Have you seen the difference between the University of Miami
here we go.
And the University
here we
of Utah sign? I thought you were a college football fan. Unbelievable. I may have to find
someone outside of Salt Lake.
I may have to find someone else. I may
have
to find someone else to do this podcast.
Knows the difference.
College football fans know the difference between the two sides.
No,
I may have
don't.
To find someone else to do this podcast with.
Well, Utah State is now doing the U with all fingers up.
Oh, boy. So we have a third copycat now.
What?
Great.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. I'll have to check that out.
Well, Utah schools have really got to get creative, man. They're jacking hand signs from all these schools, man.
Jeez. Hey, In BYU's defense, the other Y logo is so good that Yahoo stole it for their own.
Yeah, I was gonna say our Y looks more like Yahoo's Y than Yale. You're absolutely right.
All right, well, let's talk playoff predictions here. So, K-Ray, let's give TC a little more time here to think about his. So, K-Ray, give us your playoff predictions for this season.
All right. So, I've thought a lot about this. I've thought long and hard about this. And I've got three teams that make some sense. They are Clemson, Georgia, and Oklahoma. All right. That's right. I'm leaving Alabama out. I'm putting Georgia in. Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, and my surprise team finally breaking through, perhaps overdue, UCF.
All right.
If they go undefeated, they're 17th right now. If they go undefeated, it's going to be very hard to keep them out when they're starting ranked this highly.
Interesting. All right. I like it. Makes sense. All right. TC, what do you got for us?
Wow, yeah. I didn't see the UCF pick coming. That's interesting. So I've got Georgia and Clemson as well. The Big Ten commissioner has spent the entire offseason crying about the BCS and how, I'm sorry, not the BCS, but the playoffs and how it's so unfair. So I think there's a lot of pressure from maybe the most powerful conference in America. I think Michigan gets in. They've got Ohio State at home this year. So I think you got Michigan. I think you got Georgia. I think you've got Clemson. And there's a spot for an undefeated Big 12 or an undefeated Pac-12 team. But ultimately, I think the Big 12 will beat each other up. I think just like last year, Oklahoma will win one and Texas will win one. And I think if you have an undefeated team from the Pac-12, I think they go. Utah has the schedule. They have the schedule. I honestly don't think there's any other Power 5 conference team with an easier schedule than Utah. I mean, the path is wide open, but I just don't think they can beat the best team in the championship game between Washington, Oregon, and Stanford, whoever goes. I don't think they can get it done. So I think the fourth spot will go to a one or two loss Alabama team. So I'm going Clemson, Alabama, Michigan, and Georgia.
Wow. There we go. It sounds like here's what's interesting is I have the exact mix of both of your guys' predictions. So it sounds like we all kind of got Clemson, Georgia. I mean, I think this is the year Georgia wins the SEC. They got 13 starters coming back. I mean, I've been a fan of Jake Fromm since he was in high school. I think this is his year. Oklahoma, I think they're going. Jalen Hurts, he'll be bringing the hurt. And yeah, it's that fourth spot that we're all kind of trying to figure out. And I'm leaning towards TC's view on it. I think a one loss or even a two loss Alabama will go because every other team is they're gonna beat themselves up. I think the Utes have it in their hands. If they can go undefeated, that fourth spot is theirs. But I just don't see it happening. Just like TC said, I don't think they get past Washington State. I don't think it's going to happen. So I think it's Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Alabama.
Oh, boy.
Well, hope it gets mixed up a little bit, but, man, I don't see these power teams. I mean, Clemson, Alabama, I mean, it's just like, year in, year out, they're staples. And then you got Georgia. I think we all agreed. All three of us said Georgia goes. So it's really that fourth spot. But, man, I don't underestimate the political power of the Big Ten. I think they're going to get a spot this year.
Yeah.
If they go undefeated, they will for sure, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Ohio State's ranked up there. I think they're fifth and Michigan is seventh. So.
Yeah,
if they go undefeated, certainly they will. That should be interesting.
Yeah, I would like to see UCF get in there. That's what I would love. I'd love to see every conference beat each other up, and then you got UCF undefeated. What happens? That's what I want to see.
They got to let them in. They got it. They got to let them in.
Well, yeah, you have to. If they're one of the only undefeated teams other than the other three in, yeah, you got to let them in. You've got it.
If you're talking, non-Power 5 teams, watch out for Cincinnati because they're good this year. I think they have Notre Dame and they have another big game. They have UCLA first game of the season, but they have another ranked team. But
Yeah, they've got Ohio State. They play at Ohio State. If they beat Ohio State, oh, my goodness. Yeah,
okay,
right.
I'm sorry. They don't have Notre Dame. They have Ohio State. I was getting that mixed up. But they got UCLA. They got Ohio State. I'm telling you, Cincinnati's sneaky good this year.
And I'm looking at their schedule now that you mentioned them. They have UCF as well. If they beat UCF, if they beat Ohio State and UCLA, oh, yeah. I mean, that's...
All right, so let's talk schedules. Now, TC, what if BYU goes undefeated? Is their schedule strong enough to get them in the playoffs?
So I would like to say yes. Here's the problem is voters and committee members have a very short memory, and it wasn't like this in the 80s and 90s. In the 80s and 90s, if you remember, you lost, and you went down 3, 4, 5 spots. You won, you went up 3, 4, 5 spots. It is the spreads and the jumps that teams can make by a solid victory or a bad loss are dramatic. I mean, you have teams jumping plus 10 spots. You have teams falling plus 10 spots based on just what they did the last week, the previous week. My fear is, okay, let's say hypothetically, you know, shoot the moon, right? All magical season, you win them all. Their schedule at the end of the season is what's going to be on the committee mind. And so my fear is it won't be quite enough unless you have at least, you could only have 3 teams above them with 1 or 0 loss. And I think if that were the case, it's enough. But if you have four Power 5 teams in front of them with 0 or 1 loss, I don't think it would be enough because of this short time frame, this short memory.
Yeah, yep, that makes sense. And there's the problem of going independent right there, because you can actually lose a game, but if you're in a Power 5 conference, well, that's just as good as being undefeated independent.
We talked about that last year. What moving to the Pac-12 did for Utah was, yeah. I mean, aside from the recruiting, et cetera, it affords them 1 extra loss a year.
Yep,
and
that's
it,
right.
It affords them 1 extra loss to get to the playoffs. And that's huge. That's huge.
That's huge.
Because
that
to get to
huge.
The playoffs, you almost have no wiggle room for mistakes, and you get that 1 extra mulligan in a playoff.
Yep, that's right. That's absolutely right. All right, K-Ray, what do you say? Is BYU's schedule strong enough to get them in the playoffs if they go undefeated?
You know, I think, look, they open Utah, Tennessee, USC, Washington. If they win those 4 games, they will be they could be a top-10 team, depending on if other teams lose, which puts them in the driver's seat because the schedule gets – a lot easier after that, and not completely easier. I mean, Toledo's no gimme at Toledo. At USF, no gimme. Boise State, Utah State, none of those are sure wins by any means.
Yeah.
So, but if they start out 4-0, I'll tell you what, they will be on the national scene, and anything can happen once you're ranked high enough, right? Once you're ranked high enough, anything can happen. And if they keep winning, then I think they got a real chance. Now, if there's multiple power teams that also go undefeated, then that's Power 5 teams that also go undefeated. Then that's a different story. But you start 4-0, 5-0, and you're ranked highly, and things are looking good. I think.
Yep. Good point. A strong start definitely catches that national attention. Absolutely.
It'll all depend on what other teams on their schedule do. I mean, if Utah, no kidding, wins the Pac-12 and their only loss is against BYU, okay, take it to the bank, you know, an undefeated BYU gets in. But, you know, if Washington struggles, if Utah struggles, USC ultimately going to struggle. They struggle every year since Reggie Bush, high state athlete in college football left. I mean, you know, it'll depend on what other teams on their schedule do, but, man, K-Ray's right. You win your first 4 in that gauntlet, you're looking at maybe top 5 ranking at that point. I mean, that might be a little too much, but definitely top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so K-Ray, the national hype that the Utes are getting, are they worthy of it? Is this legit?
Yeah, you know, I know I joked around at the beginning of the podcast about talking about this. Yeah, it's not very often you get this kind of hype, and a lot of Utah fans are nervous about it. But you know what? There's a couple weeks just to enjoy it, and we've got about 5 days left to enjoy it, and then we play, and if we beat BYU, we get another 7 days to enjoy it.
5 days left to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. If we lose, then you're right. That does impact our season. You know, like I said, we joked around about this at the beginning of the podcast. Some Utah fans say this game doesn't matter. This game definitely matters to all Utah fans. Even if great, so what? We lose to BYU and we win the rest of our games and win the Pac-12. Great. Then BYU's got bragging rights about, look, we're the best team in the Pac-12. We're not even in the Pac-12. So look, this game matters. This game matters regardless of whether we finish 6-6. This game matters. It's Utah BYU. I mean, because of this game, we have this podcast, the greatest podcast in the podcast world. This game matters for sure. Let's get it on.
I love it. There we go. Well, that's the perfect note to end on right there. I mean, the greatest podcast in the podcast world. There's our new motto right there. All right. Well, real quick, TC, is Utah worthy of all the hype they're getting?
Talent-wise, no. Schedule-wise, yes. People are picking them because their schedule is so easy, not because they have a great team. That's it. That's the main takeaway.
Oh, boy.
Lay that dagger right in there. He's just twisting around.
It's the P5 light team. The American Athletic Conference is a better conference than the Pac-12. I've said it year in, year out. And that's okay. And normally BYU fans wouldn't even care, but it's just the constant Pac-12. It's not even a Utah team anymore. It's some subsidiary of the Pac-12.
Well, that's actually, we got to talk about that in one of these next podcasts, like the demise of the Pac-12. I mean, I'm a Pac-12 guy. My team ASU is in the Pac-12, and it's like, you don't hold your head up high anymore being part of the Pac-12. Like, they are going down. Their conference is headed downhill.
It's like, I mean, I've thought about this, right? So you compare the Pac-12 to the ACC. The ACC has some pretty bad teams in it, but they have one really good team, the best team in the country. And it lifts the rest of the conference up. The Pac-12 needs needs USC or UCLA or Washington or Oregon to be great. We need that. We need that for the entire conference.
That's right. That's what's been missing. You're absolutely right.
That's a fair point. You look at teams like Syracuse and Pitt, and I mean, even Virginia Tech have been down. And that's a fair point. You got one team that is head and shoulders above the rest, and it kind of lifts them. That would be huge for the Pac-12 to win. Just to get to the championship game, that would be huge. It would ease the perception that it's a weaker conference.
It's long overdue. It's got to happen. Yep.
Back to pack, baby. Back to pack. Let's do it.
When was the last time a Pac-12 team was in the playoffs? I mean, it was Oregon. What was it? How long ago? That's kind of been like 5 years ago or something.
No, Washington.
Washington. Yeah, there you go, Washington.
Yeah. So I think they ended up getting demolished. whoever they play.
Yeah, they did not look good. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Oregon. Does Oregon open at Auburn? Oregon plays Auburn in week one or two. That's going to be a big game. That's going to be a big game
huge.
In the national scene. So, yeah,
I mean, that'll be big. I don't know if I buy the Oregon hype, but, man, they are everyone's talking them up as well. I mean, Utah's credit, they get through their schedule, which I think is a bit of a cakewalk, like I said, but they're going to have to play the best team from, like I said, Washington, Oregon, and Stanford, although they play Washington. I mean, whoever emerges out of that North will be a legit opponent in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all assuming Utah lives up to the hype and gets to the championship game. I'll tell you what, I was watching that Hawaii-Arizona game. I mean, Khalil Tate looked like the Heisman contender he was supposed to be a year ago. I mean, he looked really, really good. Now their defense couldn't stop anybody. But man, I mean, maybe there's a surprise team out of Pac-12 South we're not thinking of.
Yeah, huh? Could be true.
It could be Arizona State. It could be Arizona State.
Yeah. It should be. Let's say that. It should be, but I don't know, man. I have my doubts. So we got a new quarterback. I don't know. It's all, nobody knows anything. It's, yeah, ASU football is a big question mark now, but it should be. We have the coaching staff. We got some good recruits. You know, we got his, what's his name? Chad Johnson's son as receiver. So, I mean, he's a freshman, so it'll take a couple years to get in the rotation, but he'll be fun to watch.
Ocho Cinco,
baby,
son?
His son. Yeah, his son is at ASU. Yep.
So is it? How do you say 90 in Spanish? Does he go by 90? What does he go by?
90.
Ocho. Cinco.
Ocho. Yeah, Ocho Cinco, right? That's right. So. All right. Well, boy, any last words before we wrap this one up, boys?
I will be there, boys. I will be there. Look for me in the Miami t-shirt, baby.
The Miami t-shirt. We're going to be giving you the most confused looks. Like, does this guy know he's at a BYU-Utah game? What's this? Miami shirt.
I got my turnover chain ready to go. In fact, I changed 301 to 801, baby.
There we go. I love it. All right. Well, we may – now, TC, we are going to be wanting some interviews from some fans at the game. So can you guarantee us some footage for next week's podcast?
If BYU wins, I will be in the mood to get some
come on, man.
They lose, no. I'm actually relaxing
that's
on my
that's true.
Hey, you got to be getting the interviews before the game, not after, man. Are you kidding me?
We'll see, man. We'll see. Like I said, it's a book-filled game. Everyone's a little on edge.
This game so early in the season could be the demise of this podcast, frankly.
Seriously, no one will want to listen to it after this. Like, well, there's not much to talk about now.
That's true.
All right, well, until next time, we are out. Peace.
All right, yeah.